Hello and welcome back to Multimodal. I'm your host, Backstage Future. I promised in the last episode that I want to chat about Dolly being completely dead next episode. And so here we are. It's time to have this very difficult, painful discussion. I guess to start with, and I'll remind you just a little bit of housekeeping. This podcast is a part of what I call a lo-fi edition of the podcast. So there's no video, there's no fancy lighting behind me. It's audio only. It's meant to be more intimate, more raw. I would like to speak more candidly. I want to sort of take the podcast back to some of the earlier days where I felt more free to express myself. Last year was a little bit more structured for good reasons, but, you know, I prefer this format a lot more too. And so I will be speaking very candidly. I will be speaking very honestly. And the good news is there's so much AI content nowadays. I may even put this out and nobody's going to notice except you. And so we could keep this a secret between us. I'd really appreciate it. So, last episode I said Dolly is totally dead. It's like if you bring it up at a party, there's like a disc scratch and everybody's looking at you like, did you just say the word Dolly? I want to backtrack this. So let's start last year. I was probably covering Dolly the heaviest out of anybody covering AI stuff for many years. I was the only person covering OpenAI and all of this stuff like GPT-3. But even then, I think I was really driving a lot of the Dolly discussion. Even earlier than that, like I had made a whole series about the potential of something like Dolly. It was called GPTX Dolly and Our Multimodal Future. I made that in 2021. I started, I think, in May, and I put it out in September 2021. And you can check it out, actually, if you go to youtube.com/BAKZTFuture. Click the playlist tab. You'll see it there. Really, I made that series, and then Dolly came out, and it was just like a life-changing product experience. There was a lot of merit there. And I felt like, oh my God, like this multimodal future, it's going to happen. It's happening. It's very real. It's visceral. There was all these other experiences too. Like back then, a lot of the Dolly users were talking about something called like Dolly Dreams, like basically like the product, like almost like rewires your brain, right? The more you use it. You have more vivid dreams as an experience, right? It's just unbelievable. There were other things too. Like I remember, like I didn't sleep the first 2 weeks when I got access, and I was just like making all, you know, this kind of AI art, surfing different areas in the latent space, sharing it rapidly on Twitter. I went down all these rabbit holes, right? Like the, industrial design stuff, like brutalism. I started the kind of like this grizzly bear wave, right? With grizzly bear memes, with the grizzly bears doing interesting things. I at the time said the product, even in its current state, was worth billions of dollars. I said that in May. It was a very positive high note, very optimistic. We started really high. And then towards the end of the summer, I think we very, very, very quickly saw how much Dolly was declining. One of the earlier decisions, you know, was besides access, the fact that many people couldn't even get access to Dolly for months on end, despite how much they tried or whatever, they just couldn't get in. The flip side is, you know, my concern was right around June and July. I think I said it blatantly on the podcast with Lapine. I pretty much said all OpenAI's got to do next is get pricing right. All they have to do is not screw this up. And unfortunately, they put out the credits model. I can't remember the exact dates. This might have been July or August. And I spoke quite publicly about the issue that I have with the credits-based model and how I felt it was just way too unaffordable. They pressed ahead with the credits model, and I didn't even like the rollout the way it was, right? Like, you know, if it is compute expensive, like they should just say it, right? I said at the time that they should probably release their margins on that, just so people have an idea, because they might be losing money, right? But they went ahead and did it and sort of acted like, you know, oh, this, you know, this is the pricing, we're going to proceed. And I think, to be honest, once they rolled out that pricing model, it was the beginning of the decline, if I'm being honest. Because at the same time, Midjourney really gained steam. They have a monthly pricing, which is pretty affordable. You pretty much get unlimited usage. And not much longer after that, Stable Diffusion came out. And they simultaneously serviced two parts of the audience. The first was all of the artists who felt left out from DALL-E, that they couldn't get into the beta and use this product. The second thing is, you know, with their model, you were able to use it pretty much unlimited. I think their Dream Booth had a much more generous credits-based system than DALL-E had. On top of that, we saw all this product and tooling built on top of Stable Diffusion very rapidly, I'd say, from maybe last September to January. We did see tons of new tools and a whole ecosystem based around it, some new research methods and stuff. And so, you know, very quickly, DALL-E looked in comparison like the product is never going to catch up. At the same time, their pricing model looked even worse. And also, like, I kind of argued when I was worried about the credits-based system, like, I just, you know, the number of generations went down to like four. To me, the quality of the model also went down. And I also talked a lot, like, I, you know, I put a lot of thought into it when I was trying to explain why OpenAI should not proceed with a credits-based model. You know, I had this idea back then about the flow state, right? So this idea that, you know, if you can use this product to the point that you can reach a flow state, almost as if you're playing guitar or music or making a film or something like that, or coding, then you'll be hooked for life. The problem is with the credits-based system and how they structured it, I just don't think anybody hits a flow state. And this, like, fundamental, like, OpenAI just not understanding this, and also just seeing it as for what it's, I don't think it's, you know, to me, like I said at the time, like, you know, the credits-based system, it makes it feel like just like another stock photography site, right? Whereas another model, I'm not even saying necessarily a monthly unlimited thing, just some other model, like, you know, instead of it being just a stock photography site, it could have been like Adobe, you know, like the whole creative suite. It could have been, you know, a tool for pro users, right? And so it just, I don't think they gave the respect to their own product. I don't think they thought big enough about their own product, because they certainly priced it like all the bullshit of the past, right? With this, which is these stock photography sites, which nobody likes. And so anyways, like, you know, Stable Diffusion came out, and the truth is that DALL-E became, not only were they disliked in the community because they kept their beta closed for so long, Stable Diffusion came out and DALL-E became pretty irrelevant pretty quickly. And then towards the end of the year, I think, you know, Stable saw a decline, and, you know, there was tons of ethical issues and other concerning things going on there. And, like, you know, in my view, like, Midjourney just kept cooking. They kept their heads down. They kept executing. And the truth is, and this is something that I feel OpenAI just does not get, Midjourney is culturally relevant. They understand the needs of artists and creators. And even a Midjourney render, even though maybe the research and, you know, the model may not necessarily be as good or as well researched or foundational as OpenAI's DALL-E models, the truth is that Midjourney has taste. Every Midjourney render has a certain taste and this sort of quality to it. It has this je ne sais quoi, which I just don't think OpenAI could ever understand, right? And, like, you know, people love Midjourney, and every artist I respect loves Midjourney, right? Like, it's just so, you know, they're just so respected from people I respect, right? Like, it, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, your favorite artist is inspired by the Beatles, right? Or something like that. Like, it's just unbelievable. And, like, I just, you know, we're at this point now where nobody is inspired by DALL-E. Nobody cares. And you know, I logged into the Discord, like it's more dead than ever, right? And I'm seeing new Discords come up for new AI generators that are, you know, there's just a more active community, and the Midjourney community is still pretty relevant. I didn't have time to check Stable Diffusion's Discord, but I'm sure they're quite relevant. And even with the Discord, like this is also something that I just don't think OpenAI gets, right? And I know they don't get it, because one of my earliest podcasts, I was telling them not to shut down the Slack group, right? And even suggesting they should switch over to Discord. And, you know, even how they run their Discord is very corporate, right? Now, they put in a few tools that I like the cropping and stuff very early on. You know, I did see they brought in like an ambassador, which is a nice touch. I see them working on safety and privacy or and those kinds of things. They recently set it up so everybody has to verify their OpenAI account. But I just don't think this cultural piece is something understood by OpenAI. You have to be relevant. You have to be cool. You have to win over the respect of artists, right? There were some other things the DALL-E team did that I didn't like. They both cited someone in one of their research papers for their research for AI. At the same time, they didn't give them access to DALL-E beta, right? There was a lot of people contributing on open source who couldn't get access to DALL-E for some reason. And those same people ended up working at Stable Diffusion, right? For Stability AI for under Stable Diffusion or whatever. You get what I'm saying? And so, like, you know, they didn't understand the importance of artists. They didn't understand the importance of open source, like the artists doing research and that kind of stuff, even giving them the acknowledgement by involving them in the beta. And on top of that, they just don't understand taste the way something like Midjourney does. OpenAI could absolutely solve all multimodal image alignment and whatever, and generation or whatever, but Midjourney will still keep on ticking because they have taste and they understand their core audience. And taste is not something you could buy, and taste is not something necessarily you can research. It has to come intrinsically, right? And Midjourney continues to execute. Even their photorealistic stuff that I'm seeing is incredible. And they are culturally relevant. Now, my fear with the DALL-E product is it's just lost so much steam. It's like they got the wind kicked out of them last September, and we have not heard from them since. At the same time, like one depressing thing that I've been seeing, the product has not been updated in like 8 months. I logged in today just to double check in case I was mistaken. The product is still the same homepage, the same, you know, search page, like, it, you know, it's the same MVP it was last summer. And for me, as a former DALL-E user, I'm really disappointed because I thought it would be like a full suite by now. I thought they would have added so many features to the actual product, right? And just be iterating at lightning speed. I thought it would be like Adobe by now, but it's, you know, it's sit dormant. It's just sitting there. They haven't updated it. It's the same, you know, user-based art on the homepage. It's the same animations, right? When you inadvertently, you know, violate the content policy, right? And, you know, in my view as well, the quality of the images have also declined. I don't know, you know, maybe it's the model has been updated. It's all perceptual, but that's just how I feel. And if I'm going to talk about one other thing, the prompt alignment has not improved. I used it last week to try to generate some concept that I had, and it wasn't understanding my prompts at all. And so I would expect by now there was some improvement on the prompts, but that's not happening either, right? So culturally, product, in my view, DALL-E is irrelevant. On top of that, it seems to me like the community is not really alive anymore. On top of that, they're not updating the product. I don't know what happened. Right. And, you know, they didn't invite me to the beta either. So I can't even try the new stuff. You know, I'm hearing the next version of DALL-E, you know, it allows generating images at any level. You know, it's got some higher quality. I'm hearing it supports some blood and gore, which I'm not frankly too excited about. I hope it has better prompt alignment. Oh, and it supports text now. Right. This is all well and good, but I can't comment on it because for some reason, the OpenAI team didn't include me in the beta, right? This is despite all the videos I made last year. You know, I spoke out about some safety issues I had with the image generators and the whole industry. This is after I put out some very thoughtful pieces about the pricing and the credits-based system, how it could be a real step backwards for DALL-E. And to be honest, I think I was kind of right. And, you know, I spoke out at a time that I thought they needed to hear it, right? I don't know. They didn't get the message. They disagreed. How did it work out for them? And so, you know, they didn't include me in the beta. And, you know, it was also like, you know, this happens like every OpenAI release where I gotta like, you know, really ask or beg or whatever. And this time, like, it wasn't the fact that I was invited. It was the fact also that like, I just really thought about it and I was like, you know, are we very quickly approaching the end of this product? Would the product be better off if it was completely shut down? And to be honest, part of me felt yes. And so last week I was tweeting about it. Like, I think I tweeted quite explicitly, they should shut this product down. It's just hard to watch at this point, right? You're not updating it. It's kind of a zombie, right? You know, all your biggest fans, you exclude, right? All the people from the beginning, you exclude them, right? And culturally, you're irrelevant. And this is unfortunately a relevance kind of game. You have to win each creator one by one. Now, one piece that I will give OpenAI credit for is, you know, the research side of DALL-E. They have been putting out, you know, this new approach to consistency models. So hopefully consistency models will allow us to edit an image with natural based instructions step by step. And this is very exciting because in part two of my series, GPTX, I renamed it GPTX Diffusion in our multimodal future. I talked about what's possible, right? With a natural language image based, natural language image editing based tool, and all the different things you can do. Now, the problem is, I don't know if the consistency models can get there, or it might take a few years to get to what I want or I envision in part two of my series. On top of that, like, the OpenAI team product-wise may not be the right team to do this. I used to think they were, but the cadence that I've seen over the past 8 months where the homepage was not even updated, right? I don't think they can iterate at the rate that is needed to get to the vision that I outlined for what I want for part two of the series. And by the way, they don't have to align with my vision. They don't have to build this, but I do feel like somebody will. Right. And, it's got to be a team that actually cares about the creatives, that cares about the artists and wants to ship product. So I think what's going to happen, and I've heard rumors of this, OpenAI may have acknowledged it at some point. They're going to basically fold DALL-E, the product, into ChatGPT. And so, look, I think this is a pragmatic decision. It will allow ChatGPT to have tons of distribution in ways Midjourney and Stability AI do not, right? It's got a very active user base, and this will provide another feature to ChatGPT. Now, look, I think that's a pragmatic move. I think it makes sense. But I also think doing something like this may be the end of the potential of DALL-E. I understand when natural language editing, you might as well have a chat interface like ChatGPT, right? Maybe those people have a strong preference for chat. That's something OpenAI has learned through something like ChatGPT. I understand that. But the problem is, like, culturally, I think ChatGPT is a very precise product. I think most people use it to get answers for things. And that sort of culturally just clashes with what DALL-E is, where it's not necessarily about precision. In fact, you may want something that takes your prompt, sort of understands it, but is slightly more creative or has a slightly different angle. You want something that actually both inspires you, surprises you, and aligns with what you entered, right? That's one thing. The other thing is, I think this ChatGPT DALL-E hybrid would kind of be a good tool for beginners, but it would sort of end the pro user potential of DALL-E. Like, as a pro user, I would imagine you would want some kind of chat, but also other windows. You want maybe other filters. You want other things you can do with it, right? And, you know, for me, I always imagined like a product suite, something like Adobe, something with that kind of professional sophistication, right? Definitely chat can be at the center of it, but you know, there's many, many other tools and things and filters and stuff that could be built on top of it, which I'm highly skeptical OpenAI would roll into ChatGPT and take as seriously. At best, DALL-E may be a plugin, right? But I just think it's a very sad state of affairs. And to be honest, I think DALL-E rolling into ChatGPT is a cop-out. I really do. I think this is throwing in the towel, but also trying to save face, right? The product still exists. It's just rolled into ChatGPT when it could have been something separate. It could have been something great. It could have been something that artists, tastemakers, creatives love and use every day, okay? And to be honest, I just don't think something like DALL-E, the potential of what it could be, even aligns with what OpenAI wants or who OpenAI is anymore. I just don't think this is an area for them. ChatGPT is so disproportionately successful. On top of that, like, I don't know if, you know, they care about artists and creatives that much compared to smaller shops, right? Compared to Midjourney. There's, you know, new kid on the scene, Ideogram, based in Toronto, who I'm really excited about. And, you know, I just don't see the vision that I originally thought could happen, this multimodal future. I just no longer see OpenAI being the company that could bring it about, right? And maybe this is all that's going to be possible. You know, maybe this is the only path. Maybe that's just how things work. But you know, I'm quite disappointed in the product and what's happened here. At the same time, like, you know, the level of urgency is not there. The level of updates about the product are not there. And you know, like, I thought we'd be a lot further by now. I thought a lot more would be possible by now. And the level of investment and dedication it will take to get to where I would like these tools to go, I no longer see OpenAI doing that. And I also want to say here, to be honest, for them to exclude me from the beta was really, really petty. It really was. It was so unnecessary to exclude me from the beta. Everything I said last year, I was, you know, I tried my best to put a lot of thought into it, and I felt it was for the best interest of the product. But to exclude me from the beta was just not cool. It was so unnecessary. And to be honest, I think I would have given some pretty good feedback, and, you know, worked with them or whatever. But, you know, to just exclude me altogether, I think there's a certain sensitivity from this team. There's a certain fear of hearing things that they may not like, that may be true, maybe they need to hear, right? And if there's concerns that, I'm maybe a little bit more on the media side, or I'm too outspoken as an artist myself, we could have talked about it, right? But, you know, it's like they excluded me from the product, and then I'm also like, bro, like, I'm just so over the product, right? And like, the potential that was there is no longer there. I feel like DALL-E is on the chopping block. If they don't perform with DALL-E 3, OpenAI is just going to axe it. And, you know, I think it's a real shame. I mean, it's pragmatic. I understand how these companies work. But the product and the potential there could have been so much more. And I just don't see it happening anymore, right? And so I just think it's better if they just discontinue the product, right? Maybe it's better to, you know, give it some final respects, announce it to the community, say you're just downgrading it as an OpenAI ChatGPT plugin, and, you know, sail it to the sunset. But you know that, you know, if they do decide to proceed and take it seriously, it will require investment, it will require cadence, it will require working with people in the community, people like me, right? And they may not be up for that. That's just how it is. Anyways, like, yeah, you know, pretty disappointed in the product, pretty disappointed with what I've seen up to this point. It's just not living up to what it could be. And I couldn't believe this. You know, I was talking to a close friend and they literally told me DALL-E is whack. It's just so whack. And I couldn't believe they said that. How could you say that about DALL-E? But it's true. It's gotten just so like what is even up? What is going on? like, is it hasn't been like a single update, right? Like, hey, still cooking on the product, you know, this many users, this is what's going on. And I think, and maybe OpenAI has deluded themselves that, you know, we can just focus on the model. We're going to go into a cave. We're going to come back bigger and better than ever. But I think, you know, if you want to have a community, or you care about your community or your fans, you will continue engaging with them, continue giving updates, share some of the stuff you're cooking, even outside of a research paper, talk about the potential, or, you know, put out something, but, you know, it's just not happening. Right. And I mean, maybe they need to fund it. Maybe they need more people on the team. They need more researchers. You know, they need to switch up leadership. I don't know. But yeah, like it's gotten kind of whack. And like, I think if you talk to the mainstream artist using AI tools, to be honest, I even think at this point they might not even know what DALL-E is. And kind of like how Google is a verb, Midjourney has become a verb. Like, we're at that point where I think I wouldn't be surprised if there's many artists who've used Midjourney and only Midjourney and only know or care about Midjourney, right? And so OpenAI can improve the model as much as they want. They still got to understand culture. They still got to stay relevant, right? They got to win over creators. They got to invest in their community. And they also have to understand the needs of artists and creators in a real intimate way. I said earlier this year that DALL-E is what AI researchers think artists want, whereas Midjourney is what artists want, right? And like, you know, it's a huge, huge distinction. But I think it's worth thinking about. And so anyways, yeah, like I was, you know, pretty upset last week, and, you know, I tweeted some stuff like, I'm just not optimistic anymore about DALL-E, and just even realizing this to myself that, you know, I think I've been probably the longest running DALL-E fan from the beginning until now. To me, I just don't think it's the same way anymore. And like, I'm not optimistic about the product. I'm not optimistic about the team. I don't necessarily think they might be the change makers that I thought they might be. I'm disappointed with how they've handled pretty much everything. Probably since launch. I don't think they've acted in the best interest of the community, or at least communicated it as such publicly. And for them to exclude me from the DALL-E 3 beta is just nonsense. It is absolute nonsense to be excluded in this way. And I'm sick of asking at this point. I'm sick of begging. I'm sick of having to be like, how come I was excluded from the beta? This happens every time with every OpenAI release. And I'm not even going to ask, because I'm already over the product. And so anyways, look, we'll see what happens with DALL-E 3. I think there might be some initial bump. The problem is as well that macro overall, I just don't think the hype is as strong or as much as it was last summer about AI art-based tools. I just don't think, last summer was crazy. You had like, you know, some level of mainstream attention on this space. We're not in that era anymore. And so even when they launch DALL-E 3, and it might feel like some fanfare, I think it will be likely some buzz, short-lived. I think it will fizzle out, kind of like the Codex launch. And then likely it's possible that DALL-E may be headed towards the chopping block, which, by the way, like I you know, I'm really sad to say, like I don't really want it to happen. You know, I'm a strong believer in the product, at least I used to be. But at the same time, there's just realities, right? And we can't turn back the clock. Whatever happened, you know? It's really hard making these kinds of decisions. You know, there's a lot of high stakes. There's a lot of money involved. But I also just think, you know, the hype is not that much there. Now, things could change, maybe with other modalities. Maybe, you know, DALL-E, they roll out a video-based model, a music-based model, and, you know, that interest spikes again last year. The problem was last year, and my fundamental issue with how they handled the credits and pricing-based system, if they had made it generous, like how they later made ChatGPT, like anyone can use it, open, very generous free tier, they would have captured the market and it would have became a thing, just like how ChatGPT became a thing. And I really feel like OpenAI learned their lesson with ChatGPT after what happened with the Dolly credits and pricing based model. But it's like last summer, man, like it was like they had lightning in a bottle and all of it went to waste. And so it's just really hard to, you know, pick it up from the scraps like this, right? And, you know, they could have captured that lightning, held onto it, and then it could have became a thing. Whereas now they're starting from the beginning and the hype is just not there as much as it was last summer, right? And I'm also skeptical because I have seen some of the renders coming from Dolly 3. I did try the Bing 2.5 Dolly preview at some point as well. My other area why I'm really skeptical is the prompt alignment, to be honest, is no good. I don't think it has improved that much. I would expect a higher order of prompt. When I type in text into Dolly, at this point, it should completely understand. And maybe I'm too aggressive and I'm too optimistic. I want like 99% prompt alignment. And it still feels like a toy. It still feels like a child. And like I don't understand what happened to all the, you know, product data that was accumulated from last summer. What was the point of the beta? And you know, maybe these are hard technical problems. There might be, you know, fundamental things on why the alignment needs to be improved. Maybe they're cooking a, you know, like a new kind of RLHF that is like ChatGPT where the alignment is much better. But you know, it's like I still feel like they got a long ways to go. And if they don't nail it by Dolly 3, I really don't know what's going to happen with the product. At the same time, I'm not excited about the text-based features Dolly is rolling out. Guess what? Ideogram has it out the gate. Stability AI launched it with Deep Floyd months ago. And to be honest, it doesn't look that much better than what everybody else is offering. You know, text is very exciting because then these tools dip into design. Maybe you could start making posters and banners, right? You know, really, truly graphic design. And then you have commercial cases, not just artistic ones. And so this is really important for the buying of the product. Then it is like more like Adobe. The problem is when I see these, it just still looks so amateur. It's still not spelling correctly. You know, the fonts, you know, don't look that great. They don't look as cohesive. And, you know, at this point, we're well past a year since Dolly 2 came out. I would expect much more, not just from OpenAI, but from the entire industry. I would expect much better text-based results. Even if this is a hard technical problem, like at this point, I don't care. This is just like, you know, the urgency and the product cadence and stuff that I'd like to see, I'm just not seeing. And so, yeah, one thing I'm thinking to do is to maybe reach out to the Ideogram team in Toronto. You know, I live downtown now. I want to chat with them. I want to understand, you know, where they see Ideogram going. One exciting thing about Ideogram is this is basically the Google Brain team. They had worked on some stuff last summer. They didn't release their models, but they were Dolly alternatives. And I'm excited to meet with them because I just want to understand their vision, you know, how seriously they take this space, whether they're able to give it the attention and resources and fundamental developments and urgency and cadence that is needed. And, you know, I may start covering Ideogram more because at this point, like, you know, I'm not even in the beta. So I don't even have anything to cover about Dolly at this point, right? So anyways, look, it's really hard making this podcast. And, you know, I sort of deleted some earlier versions, but look, it just is what it is. And, you know, I still wish the teams, you know, good luck. You know, I hope Dolly 3 works out. I'd rather, you know, continue seeing this product grow and whatever. But, you know, not only was I hurt that I was excluded from the beta, but I also think, too, when I really thought about it, like, I'm just not as optimistic either. And maybe they sense that optimism is not there. I don't know. But, you know, it's a product that's been a zombie for a long time now. You know, it just really has been. It's unfortunate, but that's just how it feels. And, you know, maybe it is time to look forward. It's time to see what else is out there. It's time to move on. And that's the best for everyone else involved. Anyways, yeah, pretty aggressive episode. I'm sorry for unloading on everybody. But you know, I sort of, you know, I've been tweeting about this and I sort of said it, and other people reached out and agreed with me, just like last year when I spoke out against the pricing and credits-based system. There was a lot of people in the woodwork who were glad I said those things because they felt it and nobody was saying it. And that's what I'm saying now. You know, OpenAI is really going to have to turn over a new leaf or change their direction or work on a lot of these issues that I'm describing. I described lack of product cadence, lack of community engagement, cultural irrelevancy, not working with artists, not working with media partners, right? In addition to just issues with the model itself and the speed, investment, iteration, the dedication that is needed. And yeah, I think the research side of the DALL-E team is doing really good. It's the product and product leadership side. Like I don't think there's a lot of investment going in there. And I strongly feel like folding DALL-E into ChatGPT, in my view, may as well be the end of DALL-E. And if that's the case, we should just call it what it is. And you know, I think it's a real shame. Anyways, I don't want to keep ranting. I'm going to end this episode in the next one. So I recorded an episode last week about the Hollywood strike in the context of multimodal AI. Unfortunately, I did not upload it. There were some tweaks I wanted to make to it, and I kind of wanted to learn a little bit more about the issue. But the Hollywood strikes is a potential, probably pretty good meaty topic I want to explore in the next episode. That might be maybe 2 weeks or a little bit when I upload a refined version. But anyways, I'm sorry. It's a really heavy podcast episode, very aggressive. But to be honest, it's just how I feel. And if you want to do me a favor, please don't tell anybody about this podcast. I'm really enjoying the fact that it's just reaching like a core targeted group of people who care about this stuff, who've been with there from the beginning. And I don't want this podcast getting too big, because when things get too big, that's when the podcast starts to suck. I can't fully express how I feel. I kind of like the cloud cover that I've got going on right now. I kind of like being off the radar. And people were quite upset at me and, you know, reaching out to me on DMs and stuff last year when I said stuff. And, you know, I'm an artist. Like, I'm going to express myself how I feel. And sometimes the things that I'm expressing, whether you may not like it, sometimes I feel it's the truth. And it's better if I can say it, because then we may be able to actually do something about it. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.